Hi, everyone. It's Sandy Cruz from Sandy K Nutrition, health and lifestyle queen. And I'm here to show you that balanced living works. This is especially for all you ladies over 40. We will cover a range of exciting topics with many special guests, and I really look forward to this season. Bye for now. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sandy K Nutrition, health and lifestyle queen. Today, I'm really excited about this interview with Dr. Keith Buher. He is the head scientist of Zymos Research. This company is the parent company of MyDNH and Epimorphy, the company that tests your biological age. Now, what is biological age? Dr. Keith Buher is going to go into all of this in our interview, but I'll tell you right now, I was a little bummed because I did the test and I thought I was going to be younger than I was, and I ended up being the exact same pretty much as my chronological age. So I did the test at 51 and a half age, 51 and a half chronologically, and my biological age came out as 52. Now, Dr. Keith is going to go into all the reasons why this could be what it was. Even though I am a registered holistic nutritionist, I thought I would be, you know, better. I just assumed I would be better because of my diet, my lifestyle, that sort of thing. But there were a few little setbacks that I've had in my life, which we get into in this interview. So I'm not going to talk anymore about that. You're going to have to listen, find out what this is all about. And a very important piece of this is I have a contest, you guys. You need to, first off, follow MyDNH on Instagram or wherever you actually have your social media. Let's say Facebook, Instagram, they're everywhere. You're going to have to go follow them, number one. Number two, you need to rate, review, and subscribe. And when you do review, you're going to have to review with a few kind words and then email me and let me know you've done this. You will be entered into a draw to win your very own biological age kit, which is valued at $300 US. This is for North American participants only. And my email is Sandy, S-A-N-D-Y, at sandyknutrition.ca. You have to let me know that you've done this, and I will enter you into this draw to win this kit. Very exciting stuff, you guys. Couple more announcements. I'm always on Instagram at sandyknutrition, Twitter. I'm even on TikTok. I don't do a lot there, but you know, eventually maybe I will. I'm also on Pinterest. And I'm also on Clubhouse. I'm there quite often, a few days a week, early in the morning, around 8:30 Eastern is when we start the Biohacking Women 50 Plus group. And guess what? I'm also a registered holistic nutritionist. And I typically work with women aged 40 and up. And I help you to figure out why you're experiencing the symptoms you're feeling. And I get to the root cause of these symptoms by looking at all of your body systems to see what's really going on with you. So if you want to work with me, send me a DM on Instagram at Sandy K Nutrition or email me sandy@sandyknutrition.ca. And now I am going to cut on through to this fabulous interview with Dr. Keith Buher of Zymos Research. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sandy K Nutrition, health and lifestyle queen. Today with me, I have Dr. Keith Buher. He is the chief scientist at Endomorphy. And today we're going to talk all about biological aging and what does it mean and how can you actually change your biological age. And it's going to be a really good conversation. So I am so excited to welcome you today, Dr. Keith Buher.
It's a pleasure to be here, Sandy. Thank you very much for inviting me.
So I always ask this of everybody I interview, I'm like, how? How did you get into this whole field of epigenetics?
Well, so I did my PhD dissertation research in cancer cell metabolism, and through that realized there was a connection between this field of epigenetics and, you know, cancer cell and how it evolves and how we might be able to researching that, discover therapeutic targets for it. So after getting my completing my PhD research, looking for jobs and applied to a local company, Zymo Research, known as the Epigenetics Company. And given my background studying cancer cell metabolism and Zymo's interest in epigenetics, I began I took a position there where I began to study methods for investigating different types of epigenetics and how they may impact the cell and biology.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to ask you the question, what does epigenetics mean? Because although I do know what it is, a lot of people don't, everybody understands what's genetics, but you know, what is epigenetics and why is it so much even more important than genetics?
Right. So epigenetics refers to changes in gene expression that occur outside of any changes in the underlying DNA sequence. So what does that mean? So I think if we take a step back and start with DNA, so DNA, when arranged in certain specific sequences, can then be identified as genes or other types of elements in the genome. So epigenetic then refers to, it comes from the Latin word epi, means above, and then genetics. So any modifications to genes or DNA that occurs, you know, one level above that primary DNA sequence. What this means in practicality is that DNA can be modified based on different environmental factors or outside experiences that occur in our lives. So if you think about it, epigenetics really defines a mechanism through which our own personal experiences or life history is directly written onto our DNA, which is, you know, the fabric of the material for the blueprint that makes us who we are.
Right. And this is why I always say it's almost more important. So there's certain things that, you know, we can't change. We're born with our eye color. I'm born with brown eyes and that's part of my genetics. Right. But epigenetics is so much more important because we can actually do something to change that. Right.
That's correct. So there's lots of studies. So, people can get a 23andMe test or an ancestry test and you can get your sort of genetic information and it's very interesting, but, that's it. Your genetics you're pretty much set, at birth. They don't change really throughout the course of your life, but epigenetics, by contrast, they do change. So there's been a rich, field of, studies coming out in the past couple of decades. So we know that, really defined exercise programs, when they look at it, they can see epigenetic changes occurring in skeletal muscle over the course of, you know, several months of treatment versus control groups. Similarly, people on different types of diets, you can see changes in the epigenetics of adipose tissue, right? So the fat tissue. So smokers have different epigenetic marks compared to non-smokers, and there's lots of examples of this type.
Right. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about biological age. So, you know, I know chronologically I'm 51. Biologically, because I did your test and I'm 52. So technically I'm 51 and a half. I'll be 52 in January. So I'm right around my age. So I'm matched. And I was in the 50th percentile. So talk to me about what that means. How are you guys testing this? How do you know?
So we use, we look at epigenetics in order to calculate the biological age. So the difference between biological age and chronological age. So chronological age is very easy to define. It's simply, the amount of time you spent on this earth. So it's the age that, whatever your driver's license or passport says, for example.
Right.
So biological age then measures something different, right? So we're looking at specific what are known as biomarkers and then interpreting that data to get an overall kind of sense of your kind of your health or your functionally, your biochemistry. So how we calculate that is then we look at a specific type of epigenetic mark. So it's called a methylation group or DNA methylation. And so this mechanism was first defined by Dr. Steve Horvath. I think he's probably, you know, the most recognized scientist associated with this field of research.
Yes.
And what he did was he looked at thousands of different data sets, or I should say thousands of samples from publicly available data sets. And what he found was that based on these DNA methylation values, there's a very strong correlation with chronological age. And so when it comes to biological age, we're looking at marks on our DNA that correlate with changes over time. And so the idea is, of course, is that you can have someone who, you know, their biological age, or excuse me, their chronological age may be 40 or 45 years old, but then we can calculate a biological age from their epigenetics, which may be several years younger for someone who is in quite good health, made very good health or lifestyle choices over the course of their lifetime. So chronologically, they may be 45, but biologically, they could be 40 years old. And of course, the converse is also true. So you could have a similar 45-year-old who maybe, you know, a heavy smoker, didn't get a lot of exercise or take care of, you know, was not able to get good sleep throughout the course of their life for different reasons. And they could have a biological age that's actually accelerated compared to their chronological age. So maybe like 50 years old, something like that.
Right. So for myself, I've had cancer. I had cancer at 41. Thyroid cancer. And I actually had this conversation with a couple of colleagues of mine in this industry. And they're like, oh, well, you know what? You should be happy with that. And I was like, I was kind of disappointed. So if I look back at my history, my health history, the fact that I've had cancer, would that be something that would be part of my results, like, or have an impact?
It definitely could. There are studies looking at this. So cancer does associate with acceleration of the epigenetic age.
Okay.
This could be really due to a couple of different reasons. So maybe just really as a sheer consequence of the disease. So your altered epigenetics as a result of cancer, they could alter then the biological clock.
Right.
Similarly, it's been shown that, you know, a common treatment for cancer is chemotherapeutics, and these have, they're very powerful drugs in many cases and can have lots of systemic effects on your body, one of which is to help kill or control the cancer, but other adverse side effects as well. And as a result of this, it could also affect, I mean, it's been shown to affect the biological age as well.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I never had chemotherapy, thankfully, and I didn't have to have radiation, thankfully, but I guess just that cancer marker. Now, what about if I used to be a smoker, which I was many years ago? Would that have an impact?
Yes. Smoking is associated with age acceleration, biological age acceleration.
Okay.
However, again, we're talking about epigenetics can be reversed. And so it could be that, you know, if you were quit early enough, or you've spent a long time as a non-smoker, your epigenetics could reset and you could have the younger or the healthier sort of a biological age. You can reverse some of that damage.
Right.
It's possible.
Okay. So what exactly, now people are going to ask, DNA methylation, what does that mean? So we talked about epigenetics. We defined that. What about DNA methylation?
So DNA methylation is a type of an epigenetic mark. It's the most common and thoroughly well-studied type of epigenetic mark. So what this is just a single carbon. If we can really look at the organic biochemistry, it's a carbon group added to your DNA. This occurs typically on cytosines in DNA, almost exclusively, in fact, in humans. So functionally, what it's doing is it is helping to regulate or control gene expression. So genes need to be turned on or off in a specific time and space, and epigenetics really helps to accomplish that. So I think a good example to illustrate this is, so all the cells in our body have the exact same DNA sequence, yet we have really specialized tissue functions. So we have eye cells that help us see our vision. We have skin cells, liver cells that carry out metabolic functions. So we have all these diverse activities or functions that our body is able to do despite having the exact same genetic sequence. And it's only because epigenetic mechanisms are able to turn these cells into an eye cell or a liver cell or a muscle cell, heart cell, that our body is able to be able to carry out such diverse activities.
Okay. So correct me if I'm wrong. I'm just trying to put this in layman's terms here. So if I was born, let's just say I carry certain genetic predispositions or SNPs that maybe I'm predispositioned to have celiac disease. The right environment, the right situation could possibly turn that on. Does this make sense to you?
Yeah, that's possible. Yeah, that's certainly possible. So you're right. So you bring up a good point. So people can have certain genetic predispositions, but it's not, there's many situations where we know it's not guaranteed to lead to a certain disease, right? So the BRCA allele, breast cancer allele, BRCA.
Yeah.
So if you carry this certain type of gene, SNP, like you mentioned, you are at a higher risk of developing cancer, but it's definitely not guaranteed, right?
Right, because it has to be these perfect environment, and I say perfect in not so perfect ways, like, you know, poor sleep, poor diet, no exercise, bad habits like smoking and drinking, and all of those factors can cause that switch to flip on, correct? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's correct.
I'm making it simple, Keith.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's correct. I mean, so you see people, you know, it's not purely just the environment, right? So it interacts with our genetics in very complicated ways. So I think we all hear of stories of, you know, so-and-so in the community lived to, you know, their 100th birthday, and they say, what's the key? And they say, oh, I have a, you know, I smoke every day or so, you know, something that sounds, wow, that really doesn't sound very intuitive there, but, you know, nonetheless, and, you know, it could be because their genetics are different, right? So they're more predisposed to a long life despite these, unhealthy activities that they may, these unhealthy habits that they may be engaged in.
Right. So your test, the MyDNAge, this test actually looks at the markers for aging.
Correct. Yeah. So I should say we look at a subset of markers.
Okay.
So there are probably thousands and thousands, if not millions, that can be. I mean, so we now know this to be the case, right? So, but in the early days, Steve Horvath, he focused on the data available. And what he found was 353 different DNA methylation marks in the genome that were highly informative for biological aging.
Ah, okay. So this all ties into the Horvath clock, correct?
Correct.
Maybe describe what that means.
Right. So for Horvath clock, again, he focused on these 353 DNA methylation marks, locations, and he can, at each one, he can calculate a percent methylation. So from 0 to 100 of the methylation level, DNA methylation level at that area in, you know, that base in the genome. He then developed a mathematical model to take all those values and output a biological age. So you get 353 different values, you put into an equation and you get a value in years. So, you know, 45 biological years or 47 biological years or 68 or whatever the case may be. And that changes based on the DNA methylation values at those sites. And so those change over the course of our lives. Some will increase in value and others will decrease in value.
Okay. And so your test, so how do you know that I would be my age? Like, you're looking at those 353 markers, right? And it's measured by either blood or urine, correct? But blood is more accurate, right?
Yes, that's basically correct. So we don't actually need to know anything about you or about any individual who wants to get their biological age measured. We don't need to know. We ask for certain things for our metadata, but we don't need to know. And in fact, we've worked with forensics team, you know, and law enforcement at my parent company, Zymo Research, where they're trying to identify people, right? And so we don't know anything about these samples. and we're able to age them. So we don't need to know anything about your chronological age when you were born. We are simply looking at the DNA methylation values at those positions and then calculating a biological age based off of that.
Okay. So I gave you my blood sample, and you match it just on in your database to see my blood sample, where do I sit in terms of the age? And that's according to all of the data that you've already got in there.
Yes, right. So that's correct. That's a full kind of analysis. So we'll take a blood sample. We extract the DNA. We then do some special lab techniques in order to reveal the DNA methylation value in your DNA, generate that data, and then apply, again, a statistical model to do that age prediction. So once we have it, then we can take your... So if you did provide your age, some other demographic information about you, we can then compare your biological age to others in our database and give you kind of an index of how you know, the rate of aging, how you compare to, you know, the average person for your age, you know, so female of, you know, born in this year, how does that compare to the average person in our database?
Okay. And your database is it worldwide? Like it's global? It's a global database?
Yeah. Or? So it is. It is overrepresented for North America and Europe. We do have samples from all over the world.
Okay. That's very cool. Now I'm going to tell you, I was a little disappointed that I wasn't better. So like we talked about cancer. We talked about habits. Is there anything else? Like, you know I don't smoke. I rarely drink. I exercise a decent amount. But it's more about my history that I can't change. So what else? What else can I do to change this, to make it better?
Yeah, so I wouldn't be disappointed that you weren't as biologically younger as you kind of hoped, especially given your background. So the cancers, I mean, that's, you know, it's quite a serious diagnosis. So I wouldn't feel bad, Sandy, in your situation. But to answer your question, what can we do to kind of slow down the clock or even potentially reverse it? So there are studies coming out now pointing to different things that could impact this. So a lot of it's pretty intuitive. It's like what you mentioned, getting exercise, eating the Mediterranean diet, something high in, you know, a lot of plants, nuts, healthy oils. So olive oil, for example, are associated with slower or decelerated aging compared to other types of diets. So I think some of that's, you know, it's pretty intuitive. And you say, okay, well, I knew that. But what's really interesting is using this tool, we can really get into what parts of this are contributing more and what others that we might think are, you know, very important may not be quite as important as we thought. And so there's a study that came out a few years ago, and they looked at a lot of these different lifestyle factors that could influence the clock. And what they found was, low amounts of C-reactive protein, lower amounts of this measure of inflammation in our body is associated with slower aging, decelerated aging. Again, the plant-based diet and the oils. But of all those factors that they looked at, they actually found that individuals who consumed more fish on a regular basis, actually that had the greatest impact to slow the clock. So I think that was very interesting. That might not be quite as, you know, without having a tool to measure, you may not have known that, you know, of all the factors, this might be a really important one. So you may say, yeah, I try to eat a lot of, you know, broccoli and spinach and these leafy greens. But just for whatever, you know, my habit, it's off company with chicken and I don't know, other types of vegetarian meals, but maybe I can incorporate more fish. You know, I do get that, you know, once a week or less, but maybe that's something I want to try. Right. So that's an indicator. That's a piece of, a finding that I think we can use to inform our biological age and how to affect it in a beneficial way. So those are some ways to slow the clock. There were factors to accelerate it, right? So smoking, we talked about.
Yes.
Accelerated aging is associated with high BMI, poor insulin tolerance, so diabetes. So they've shown to have an effect to accelerate aging. Interestingly, actually moderate alcohol consumption in this study was shown to have a clear beneficial effect to slow the clock. So drinking in moderation actually helps to decelerate the clock. So.
Oh, that's good. That's really good. Another probably reason, red wine, though. You know how they always say, you want that resveratrol in there, right?
Yeah, so there's actually better sources of resveratrol beyond red wine. Yes. So I think if you're, you know, the study looked at alcohol consumption in general. So even if you like to have a scotch or a glass of bourbon, which I enjoy.
A little bit of good quality tequila. Never hurt anyone. That's just correct, my opinion. Correct, my opinion.
Yeah. in moderation, I think.
In moderation, yes.
Yeah, to take.
Yeah, but that's really interesting. So you mentioned smoking. BMI is huge. I mean, you know, we can even make this really relatable to what's going on in the world right now. And, you know, with COVID and individuals that are getting very ill and, you know, there's the diabetes factor, the BMI factor. So really, none of this is new, right, Keith? None of this is new.
I think a lot of it is not new, yeah. But some of it certainly is, right? So I think, and then being able to quantify that, I think is really important, right? So how much does BMI impact and how does higher BMI, been conflicting, they call it the coronary arterial disease paradox, where people with higher or obese actually have better short and medium term coronary outcomes than people with lower BMI. And, but longer term, of course, you know, people that are, you know, healthier, fit and lean do far better, in terms of their heart health than people who are obese. And, I think some of the new data is pointing to, when you are obese, you trigger a kind of a protective or survival response in your body. And, you kind of benefit in the short or medium term, but, you're taxing your stores, right? So your body can't keep that up forever. And, after a while it starts to wear on you. And I think that could be, so it's not shown, but that could be one explanation of why, people may have good heart. They say, oh, my heart's fine. I go to the doctor. And even though I have a few extra pounds, but if you look at your biological age, you may say, no, this is having an impact. And we can look at it. We can look at it in that way and see that, you know, you probably should consider making changes.
Okay. That's good to know. So maybe, Is that all the studies that you wanted to cover, or did you want to cover more studies there?
I think, maybe one. So until this point, I've just been talking about accelerating or decelerating the clock. So
right.
These are all things to, you know, if you want to try to slow the clock for beneficial health, or at least try to remove things that are accelerating your age, right, that rate of aging. But this leads to the question of, can we reverse it? And what if we're able to reverse it? Is this healthy? Are we doing something good? And there was a study that came out a few years ago, it's very recent, where they tried to, the goal of the study was to help boost immunity. So immunity wanes as we age. So the thymus, this organ key for maintaining healthy immunity, tends to shrink and lose effectiveness as we age. Mm-hmm. And so this group, they developed a three drug cocktail. So it was human growth hormone, metformin, so this anti-diabetic drug or diabetes treatment drug, and then another DHEA. And they tried to see if, you know, using this drug cocktail, can we help to rejuvenate the thymus? And they found that they were effective. They looked at different measures and, you know, they found, you know, clinical measurements, and they saw, you know, a good effect, good outcome. But what was really interesting is they also then looked at the epigenetic age or the biological age, and they found that it actually reversed in people under this, taking this drug cocktail. And furthermore, the longer that they were on the treatment, the greater the effect on the beneficial effect on the biological age. And furthermore, it was persisted for up to 6 months after they kind of concluded the study. So is the first initial indication that there may be possible to reverse the clock, and it could be associated with beneficial outcomes.
Okay, well, that also relates back to the whole diabetes and blood sugar thing that we were just discussing, right? Like the metformin.
Yeah.
So I believe that it's possible. So I'm actually going to do my own little, I'm my own little study. And I always love to do this kind of stuff. What can I do to impact my health with diet, with exercise, whatever it is that I'm doing at the time? So I'm going to see, and I'm going to circle back with you, Keith, because we're going to see if what I'm doing can actually have an impact, because it does relate to the thymus. And so I am personally going to be, I did start already a number of peptide bioregulators that can impact the thymus and help the thymus to rejuvenate. Because at 51, we know it's a lot smaller than it was when I was 30, right? So I'm definitely going to try and I'm going to see. So making that budge backwards is not that easy, is it?
Right. So I think to the extent that we understand, the biology today, it certainly does not seem to be easy. But with the tool, with the biological aging tool, we can start to experimentally test these things and see which type of compounds. So these biopeptide regulators, perhaps they will, we can test, right? They will or they won't, right?
But exactly.
With this tool, we have a way to measure that. We can really quantify it.
Well, that's it, right? Because, in all the things that I have learned about with relating to epigenetics, it's not so easy. It's not like overnight, I can do all these things and then tomorrow I'm going to be 40 instead of 52, right? So I think if I can make a small change, that's a big deal. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. And I think it really shows kind of the excitement for what's possible. So there's this kind of idea or concept of mimetics, they call it. So, a lot of the studies looking at all sorts of different model organisms. So fruit fly, a commonly used animal for looking at insect, for looking at genetic studies, lab mice, lab rats, even non-human primates, rhesus macaque, they've shown it's really been established that a caloric restriction. So if you can kind of minimize the amount of energy your body expends on metabolism, really helps to extend lifespan, and not just extend lifespan, but health span as well. Animals that undergo this caloric restriction live longer, healthier lives. And, so there are people trying to do this, right? So people do intermittent fasting, and there's different kind of trendy, diets out there and ways to do this, but it can be extremely difficult. So our body doesn't always react well when we deprive it of, something to eat. So you feel uncomfortable. You may become irritable if you're trying to do these intermittent fasting. And in some cases, it's just not possible, right? I mean, it's just too challenging. But with this tool and looking at these studies, if we can understand what are the molecular reasons why caloric restriction leads to healthy, longer lives, perhaps we can create some sort of mimetic. So something like perhaps like a biopeptide regulator, something that you can just make a small change to add to your, like a daily aspirin, for example.
Yes.
Then maybe we don't have to go through these, dramatic or very difficult interventions. We can do it much easier. So it's more accessible to everybody.
Yeah. And, just as you were talking, it just kind of made me think, for application wise, if you're one of these people who knows that your lifestyle is not ideal, you don't exercise, perhaps you smoke and you want to quit smoking, it would really be an interesting, almost challenge for yourself I think those are the people who can really have an impact on reversing their biological age. So let's say you are going to challenge yourself. Maybe you're going to do a little intermittent fasting. Maybe you're going to lower your BMI. Maybe you're going to start exercising. Maybe you're going to quit smoking. And you do all of these things and then measure again in a year's time. You might see more of an impact than somebody who's already doing all those things like myself as a nutritionist, right? Like, I just feel like for me, because I'm in this industry, it's going to be a little bit more difficult. But for somebody, it's actually a very kind of a cool way to test if you can really improve your overall health.
That's correct. Yeah. And I think, yeah, so there's, you know, different, you know, health, lifestyle factors we talked about, but, you know, those changes are not always easily, you know, accessible to everybody. So some people, they live in, you know, very polluted areas, or they're in, working, you know, different manufacturing or mining where this just, they don't have much choice. And, you know, what can we offer them to make other beneficial, changes to, even if they can't, you know, they need to provide for themselves and their family somehow. Maybe we can offer these different options for them to improve their health. So
yeah. So let's talk about how this works, just so that people understand. They would go and order a kit through MyDNH. They would get a kit. Can you just explain what the process is so that people know how easy it is to do?
Yeah. So it's very easy. So they just go to a website, mydnh.com. They have a choice to order either blood. You can do a blood test or urine test. It's your choice, which you want. So that I think the blood test, yeah, it's sort of easier and probably more accurate in many ways. But some people are squeamish about it does require a finger punch. Maybe you don't want to do that. So urine is more accessible to a lot of people. What you'll get in the mail is a blood collection kit or urine collection kit. So for the blood, it comes again with that finger punch, and then you just squeeze a few drops into a tiny collection device. You then add the blood to a solution that comes with the kit that is designed to preserve the DNA at the moment of collection. So you can keep it at room temperature, and it'll be stable for the journey. You know, when you send it back in the mail, it comes back into the lab. The integrity of the sample is maintained. For urine, it's similar. There's a collection bottle. You then give a specimen. It comes with a buffer that preserves the DNA in the urine. Just screw the cap on, send it back in the mail. Once it gets to our lab, we'll extract the DNA, generate the DNA methylation data, and calculate a biological age for each customer, and then send a report back to them.
Okay. Electronic. And how long does that typically take, that process?
The average turnaround time is 6 to 8 weeks. I think most are completed in about 6 weeks at this time.
Okay. And when you, what do you get back? Because you guys aren't you guys doing some changes? You guys are going to be revamping your reports, but right now we get back what?
So right now you get back your biological age in years. So 43, you know, for example, 45, whatever it may be. There's also some education in the report. So you get an index to see how you're doing relative to the average population. There's some educational information in the report as well, in case you'd like to learn more. That's our current report, our version one. But as we've been talking, you know, we've been building our database over the years, and you know, we've been trying to expand with the field as new information comes out, new studies, academic research. And so we're working on a version two report. It contains a lot more information. It's much longer. There's genetic information included. You know, SNP analysis, like you mentioned, will be performed, and how that may impact your biological age. For example, methylene tetrahydrofolate reductase enzyme status. So we can measure your allele for this MTHFR enzyme. And it's been shown to have an impact on, you know, DNA methylation in the body, your epigenetics, and perhaps the biological age. So we'll report that to you. APOE4 status, this gene, whose, you know, different alleles are associated with increased likelihood of developing Alzheimer's disease.
Oh,
and
yes.
This has also been shown to connect to neurological or neuronal biological age. So we'll measure that as well. There's also a metabolic biological age index that we're also developing, and some others. So this is on our version two report that's coming out very soon, within the next couple of months.
Oh, very cool. I mean, just to be able to integrate all that information. And then, of course, you know, because I'm not just a podcaster, I'm also a holistic health practitioner. I'm like, you could take this to your holistic health practitioner and help make those changes and then retest again, right? Like a lot of people, unless you're in the industry, you may not know what to do. I mean, you could do the basics, like we talked about, the eating well, losing weight, exercise, you can do the basics, but then you can also do a little bit more if you work with a practitioner. Now, what I have to ask this, what about personal information? Like, do you guys share your info? Like, you know, how safe is my DNA with you? I just want to know.
We don't share any information with any outside parties. People seem to think, they're really concerned that their information will get into the hands of a health insurance or something. So we absolutely do not do that. So it's all protected. The lab information, so the metadata of the individual is separate from the specimen identification. So it's de-identified once it gets to the lab. And it's all privacy insured and, secured.
If somebody really wanted to do this test, but then not have their personal details, such as like, you know, Sandy Cruz, 51, associated with that, you don't have to specify that, do you? Like, it could just be stored.
No, you don't. You don't have to. If you want the full capability of the test, the full, you know, all of the different types of measurements we're able to do, we will need that information.
Yeah.
So if we don't know, we can't compare it against, you know, our database. So it's up to each person's choice. So.
Okay. All right. I think, is there anything else that you wanted to add, Keith, that I haven't mentioned?
So I think maybe I can, if you don't mind, Sandy, share something that I'm really excited about.
Yes,
this field.
Do.
So there was a study that we participated in. It came out of Harvard less than a year ago. So it is just December. And what they did was, so they kind of took this idea of, can we, how can we rejuvenate tissue, to help us as we age, right? So our organs start to deteriorate. And is there any kind of therapy or approach we can take to kind of rejuvenate things? So what they did is they looked at, they did a certain type of treatment. It's a kind of a stem cell based therapy. That's the short description.
Okay.
But what they did is they applied it to a mouse model for vision loss associated with aging. And after this treatment, they found they could actually restore vision in aged mice. And they looked at some different models and they found that it held up. And they even looked at cultured human cells, older cells, and they found they can rejuvenate even the human cells in culture. But what was really interesting and ties back to biological age is that they measured the DNA methylation in these treated samples, and they found that it actually reversed their epigenetic age or their biological age.
Really?
And furthermore, they can experimentally block the epigenetic process, and they found out when they did that, the rejuvenation doesn't occur. So epigenetics is very tightly linked to this beneficial rejuvenation, it's actually needed for this process to occur. So I think, this is looking forward, into the future of what might be possible. So now we know that it's not just a coincidence of these epigenetic changes. It's actually somehow really linked to the aging process, and will be necessary if we're ever able to develop highly effective therapies to, combat aging.
Oh, wow. That's, I'm actually... Right now, I've done a little bit of research just in the whole age-related macular degeneration area and how that can be actually reversed as well. I'm doing some nifty little things myself to try and get rid of my reading glasses, which, again, I never wore glasses until, I don't know, I was like 41 or 42. So this is age-related vision loss, right? So to be able to reverse that, I think that's pretty incredible, right? Like, how many people do you know? Yeah. They hit 40 or 45 and all of a sudden they have to wear glasses to read, right? Why is that? And can we reverse that?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it's very exciting.
I think so. I think it's very exciting. Okay. Well, and I want to make sure I didn't cut you off. Is there any other studies? Because I want you to speak now.
Well, there's lots coming out all the time. There's a study looking at metformin treatment. There's different new clocks coming out, new ways of measuring this stuff. There's always going to be more. We can check back later and get updates on the latest. And
well, Keith, I think we should record again once I'm done my 8-month course of these peptides. And then I'll reveal my new, hopefully new, biological age. See if I can make a dent in that.
Yeah, it sounds very interesting. Yeah.
I think so. We'll have to see. But actually, my DNH has offered our listeners a discount code to get their own kit. So you can get your own kit with Sandy K 15, 15% off your kit. And I really, really want to thank you so much for your time. I know you're a very busy man, and I'm so happy that you took the time to talk to us today.
It was my pleasure, Sandy. Yes. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you. Join me next week where I cover off more exciting topics. I hope to continue to engage you and excite you and show you that living in your 40s, 50s, and beyond can be exciting, balanced, and healthful. Bye for now.